WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Dame Helen Mirren has been highly praised for her performance as Queen Elizabeth in the new Stephen Frears movie, The Queen. The story is set at the time of Princess Diana's death, when the clash between the modern Diana and the monarchy became so apparent. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Here's the story at the heart of The Queen. A pretty and vulnerable young woman marries into a stuffy royal family and runs afoul of the chilly matriarch, who's the enemy of spontaneous emotion. It's the standard fairy tale princess template, except in this case, it's upside down and inside out. The princess is Diana, Princess Di, and word of her death comes near the beginning of the movie. The protagonist is actually Queen Elizabeth II, the icy monarch who tried to muzzle her, and who can't even bring herself to make a public statement of grief. Talk about a challenge for a filmmaker. The triumph of this sublime comedy of grand manners is that it gives us a way into this cold, lacquered, seemingly inhuman woman, to the point where we come to admire her. It helps that she's played by the marvelous Helen Mirren. Even as a monarch whose features barely bestir themselves, Dame Helen has one of the screen's most expressive faces. Shortly after Diana's death, Elizabeth watches the princess sniffle through an old TV interview, and it's uncanny how many emotions bleed through Mirren's regal mask. Distaste, horror, pity, regret, and perhaps something else. Envy. The director, Stephen Frears, and the screenwriter, Peter Morgan, prime you to scrutinize Mirren's face for signs of tension between the woman and the sovereign, and to marvel at the will it takes to keep up appearances when everyone on Earth thinks you're both scarily heartless and laughably out of touch. We all did, of course. We might have been divided on the subject of Diana's saintliness, but there was no disagreement about the royal's cluelessness. Listen to Mirren's Elizabeth firmly state her position on the matter of public mourning to the new Prime Minister, Tony Blair, played by Michael Sheen.
Coming down to London at the earliest opportunity.
It would be a great comfort to your people.
And would help them with their grief.
Their grief? Imagine I'm going to drop everything and come down to London before I attend to my grandchildren who've just lost their mother. Then you're mistaken. I doubt there is anyone who knows the British people more than I do, Mr. Blair, nor who has greater faith in their wisdom and judgment. And it is my belief that they will any moment reject this mood, which is being stirred up by the press, in favor of a period of restrained grief and sober private mourning. That's the way we do things in this country. Quietly, with dignity. It's what the rest of the world has always admired us for.
If The Queen is the story of Elizabeth and Diana's catastrophic antipathy, it's also a wry portrait of Liz and Tony's lucky symbiosis. At one point, Blair gazes heavenward and cries, "Will someone please save these people from themselves?" And that someone turns out to be Blair, the young and studiously informal Labour Party leader with the anti-monarchist wife. Strange bedfellows. Michael Sheen is more chipmunk-like than his real-life model, but it's hard to imagine a more generous portrait of the soon-to-be ex-PM. And as his spouse, Cherry, Helen McCrory makes a deliciously impudent foil. Frears is generous toward all his characters, except James Cromwell's Prince Philip, whose exclamations are unfailingly snobbish and dull. Even Charles, played by Alex Jennings, is more to be pitied than censured. He's always piping up about changing times and the need to be flexible, and you see him through his mother's eyes, not so much flexible as backboneless. Frears often makes films in which people chafe at being trapped in roles to which society has assigned them. In The Queen, he finds it in himself to revere a deeply unimaginative woman who accepts her assigned role and even fights to maintain it. The director invests her surroundings with genuine elegance instead of empty ostentation, and he shows us a different side of Elizabeth amid the mighty crags and rolling hills of her family's 40,000-acre Scottish estate. She sets out paper plates for a picnic. She tries to fix her own Jeep, and she has a mystical, emotionally charged connection with a magnificent stag. That said, when she finally makes her grudging statement of grief, it's not a stand-up-and-cheer kind of climax. It is, however, a momentous one, because it marks for Queen Elizabeth II the passing of a more dignified, more orderly world. She knows that Diana, the princess of the modern celebrity culture, has won. But this cheeky yet reverent, not to mention absolutely delightful movie, makes you happy she surrendered with dignity.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.